Trying by God's word to get people out there in the world, or here, or myself, or anybody, to realize we're facing a very disastrous situation. Now, the fact that I do not believe it's going to occur until well after Obama leaves office, I do know it's coming. And after traveling all over the world and watching millions of mothers say, "I don't want my children to hear that." Not millions, thousands, maybe hundreds. Hundreds of women say they don't want their children to hear what I present. Well, I'm not offended by it. I can understand why they don't. Because they're not doing what God wants in their lives. And I don't claim to be either. But I claim to be trying. Believers don't fear the moment of death before the seventh trumpet rapture. Don't be afraid of it. You've got an appointment with death. Forgive me for putting it this way. I'm being facetious. Big deal. No, it's not a big deal, because the Lord has already taken care of it. You got an appointment with death. You were born with it. You still have an appointment with death. You say, "Well, I'm going to be raptured. I won't experience death." Really? Doesn't the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Doesn't the Bible indicate your flesh has to be changed? Good. What happens when you die and your flesh starts to be changed? Boom, you die. You say, "Well, don't be afraid. It takes about that. Let me show you how long it takes. I'm winking at you. That long. That's the sting of death. It's gone. Surely you can put up with a, where am I? But you're going to die.
Amen.
Yeah. Now you have an appointment with death. Well, here, Jesus already got the solution. Jesus already done it for you. And if you realize that, it sets you free to serve Him. It sets you free to serve Him, and then what you can do for Him, and He will accept it. Believers don't fear the moment of death before the seventh trumpet rapture. Christ removed the fear of the sting of death by keeping the law for believers. He did it. You say, "Well, I'm saved, but I still can't keep the law perfectly." That's exactly what He did. Made it possible for you to be set free, to confess your sins, to have a daily walk. And Leonard has talked about washing your feet as you walk through the world. And as you sin, you will sin. But then you ask God to forgive you, and He does. You say, "How many times?" Well, Kenneth believes 490. And he believes on the 491st time, He'll zap you. Well, that's just an exaggeration. God will forgive you of anything in life from the day you're born if, after you reach the age of accountability, you simply ask Him to save you because you realize He's alive and He's the only one who can, and you ask Him, and then from that day forward, when you sin, you ask Him to forgive you, and you ask Him to help you respond to His Spirit, and every time it happens, get up and let God push you again and start serving Him.
Amen.
He says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands." You had a spiritual rebirth when Jesus saved you. It's spiritual. It wasn't made with human hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. Right now, He's there to appear in the presence of God for Kenneth, for Leonard, for me, for Evelyn, for this brother. You know why? Because we believe in God's Son as our Savior. It's all over. You say, "Well, what happens if we sin?" If you don't confess it and you just keep fiddling along, he's gonna paideo you. And that includes a little spanking. A love spanking. A love pat. But you'll know it when He does it. And in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God.
Yeah.
They lied to the people in the church. And He took their lives. You say, "Well, that doesn't seem very mercenary to me." Think what would have happened if they just kept on lying to Christ till they died. They'd be there in their underwear, minus 10.
Yeah.
So God is merciful because His thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. For His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. God is all wise. He is all powerful. He is all merciful. He is all forgiving. And you have to understand that. Because once you're saved, he's in you and he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He says, to appear in the presence of God for us. He's there now, right now. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. And they had to offer sins once a year for the people of Israel, and the high priest had to offer one for himself. And they actually went into the temple on that one day, the Day of Atonement, twice, changing clothes in between. The high priest did. Enter into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. His suffering on the cross, his offering for sin, his long suffering, walking among men that were sinful and walking among Pharisees that despised him, it's over. It's done. It's finished. How many times did it take for him to save you eternally? For then once, for then must he have suffered since. He says, for then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, end of the age, we're living in the last age. You say, no, that's the end time. No, the end of the world is something that is used as a figurative expression, but it's true, and we are in the end of the age. Hath he appeared? He appeared. Now we've seen God. You say, I've never seen God. Philip didn't think he'd ever seen him either. But the Lord said to Philip, he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Amen. He said it, and he meant it, and he was in him, and he was there. And there's one God. There's not three of them running around. There's one. And he's fulfilled all three offices, and he's fulfilled the office of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. He says, for then must he have suffered since the foundation, but now once in the end of the world hath he put away sin, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. How were your sins put away? Well, I confessed them, and I just did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I was blah, 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 blah. But now, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, that's who put away my sins. That's what put away my sins. That's why the Lord looks at me, and what does he see? Preachers put it this way many times. They say, he sees the blood of his Son. His own blood, his own only begotten Son's blood. That's what is taking me to heaven. That's what keeps me by his power. That's what keeps you by his power. You've been set free. Amen. Set free to do what? To offer up sacrifices to God that he accepts it, right. Accepts as he directs in his word. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Yes. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. That's one of the things that kept me here. I've watched you change. I've watched myself change. I've realized, what a fool you are, Tom McElmurray. Why didn't you learn this long ago? Because I'm a rebellious child of God. I have a rebellious nature still in me, my carnal nature. And God's the only one who can put him down. For a long time, I tried to put him down myself. I thought I was doing the right thing. I was wrong. Now I've learned every time I'm tempted. I mean, the instant I'm tempted. And believe me, don't tell me you're never tempted. No. It won't work. Because I know that's a lie. But I do know that the instant I'm tempted, whoop, I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, get me through this. Get me through this. I wish I had learned that. I said, help me, Lord, to respond to your Spirit. Help me to respond to your Spirit. You know he'll help you?
Yeah.
I know that. But why did I waste so much of my time? It took God a long time to teach me what a renegade and a rascal I am. And once I learned it, I got to have help. And his help's the only help I've got. I can't appeal to my flesh for help. I can't appeal to my soul for help. My soul runs to him and appeals for help. You say, well, I'm not a weakling. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So am I. But God's not a weakling.
Amen.
He says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He said that just before he gave the Great Commission. So what are we supposed to do now? This is a local church. It's a local church based on the teachings of God. He says in verse 18 of the Great Commission, he says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Period. That's it. He says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Speaking of himself personally. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What are we supposed to do as a church? Teach all nations?
Amen. Yeah.
About what? That Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. that he's God. That's what we're supposed to teach him. That's verse 19, just follows right after it. And then he comes on and says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I, he says. Well, who is he? He's God. Amen. Teaching him to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What are we supposed to do here as a church? We're supposed to do what we're capable of doing.
Yeah.
What are we capable of doing? Well, Jesus equipped us. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Then he says, go you therefore, as you are going, make disciples. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What did he command us? He says, you do this, it'll take care of the others. He said, a new, he did this in the 13th chapter of John, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples. I know all of you. And I think I can truthfully say that every one of you go out and they can see God operating in you.
Amen.
You say, well, how well is he operating in me? That's up to you. You're the one who has to determine that. And you can see it in other people, can't you? Can they see it in you? You say, well, sometimes I have a hard time. Welcome to the club. I have a hard time all the time.
Yes.
And so, who's there all the time? Jesus. He's always there. He's with me right here, right now.
Amen.
I can tell that I'm preaching the truth. I can know it. Now, when it comes to the gap theory and things like that, I can't be certain of some things. All I can be certain of is the positive things. He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I know that's the truth.
Yeah.
I know it suddenly became tohu and bohu. I know that God, this is God's earth. And I believe it's going to go through another stage here before long,
Amen.
Which is the destruction of mankind, which is why I'm putting this out on the internet. He says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered. He just took one offering. That took care of your sins. Which sins? All of them. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. To bear the sins of many. He died for all men.
Yeah.
But how many will receive him?
That's right.
He died for all men. It's a free choice. It's a free will choice. It's your choice. Before the foundation of the world, he decided that he would have the Son die in his office as his only begotten Son as the total sacrifice for the sins of all men.
Amen. That's good.
He determined he would do that. Then afterwards, when he had done it, the many that are saved are those who believed it.
Amen.
And they believed it. Now, how do you know you're saved? I believe that.
Yeah.
How do you know you're saved? You believe that.
Yeah.
Now, you think that's worth serving him? You think that's worth coming to church?
Yeah.
You think that's worth giving? You think that's worth praising him?
Praise God.
You think that's worth honoring? Sure you do.
Yeah.
But what's stopping you? Your flesh. Your flesh, the mammon of the world, and all the things that the devil has used as instruments to get you not to serve God. He can't get you out of God. He can't unsave you.
No.
But he can stop you from giving glory to God. And if he can't stop you, he can limit it. And that's up to you. Because his spirit's there. It's always in you. He's always in you. And it's up to you. He said, now who's he going to take with him at the rapture? And unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Why? What does that mean, without sin? Has he got sin? No, God resurrected him from the dead and he became God. God is the only begotten Son. He didn't have any sin. But what about this without sin? As far as God's concerned, I don't have any sin that condemns me. So for the first time, I will shed this robe of flesh by the power of God, and it will be changed into his glorious body, and I shall see him as he is.
Amen.
And I'll see him, Gene. I'll see your father, your grandfather. I'll see your husband. And so will you. That's a promise. And when God says something, God means it. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, and Tommy Brown preached it at a funeral. I've taught it for years. I love it. Everybody on the ship was about to die. Oh, we're dying. Well, everybody's scared to death of the tribulation period.
Yeah.
And Paul looked the captain in the eye, and he says, in a nice way, don't worry. He said, God has told me how it shall be. He said, I believe God who has told me how it shall be. And God had told Paul, he said, don't worry, I'm going to rescue you from this. He told him that way back in Jerusalem. You want to know what faith is? Paul believed him. God told you after you got saved that you were saved. That's when you first begin to fight against the idea. But now, here you are all these years later. Do you believe it will be as God has told you? Well then, thank God for it. Well, he says, well, I tell you what. I think I've told you enough.
You did a good job.
Well, you know you as a booger. Well, I tell you what, I'll just preach.